Okay, 1028.
Amend city, amend code for Bull Run Watershed Protection to include the U.S. Department of Interior Bureau of Land Management as a management partner, update enforcement provisions, and adopt an updated map of the Bull Run Watershed Closure Area.
Mr. Fish.
David Schaff.
My role today is strictly to introduce Edward. This is Edward Campbell, the director of the resource planning section of the Portland Water Bureau.
Good morning. Good morning, Council. If you'll indulge me just a moment to get some slides ready, this will be short.
I'd offer to help, but
Carla, he may need
I'm less qualified than he is.
Our peculiar AV system. Takes a village to operate our AV system.
Hi, I'm Edward Campbell, Resource Protection and Planning Director for the Water Bureau. And what I have before you today is a housekeeping item that is intended to complete a set of watershed protections for the Bull Run Watershed.
Thank you so much.
The council well knows the crucial role that the closure of the Bull Run Watershed to human access plays in ensuring our exceptional water quality. The city's LT2 variance and our filtration avoidance waiver are both due in large part to a century-long effort by the city and our federal land management partners to keep human sources of contamination out of our main drinking water source. In 2010, the city enacted code language that, along with an intergovernmental agreement between the city and the Forest Service, enabled the city to begin enforcing the public closure on both Forest Service land and city-owned lands, both inside of the management unit and then lands that we also own adjacent to the watershed management unit on its west side. So that code established what we now call the Bull Run Closure Area. At that time, we were unable to bring in our third partner in the watershed, the Bureau of Land Management. They own small portions of land inside of the federal management unit, but they had not yet gone through the administrative process to close their lands. So since that time, they've gone through that process. We've entered into a similar agreement with BLM as we have with the Forest Service to enable us to enforce the closure on those lands, and we're ready to bring those lands in the BLM as a partner. That's the primary action of the activity today, or the authorization that we're seeking today from the council. In addition to that, we're asking for some other housekeeping items to be updated in the code. There are three other items. One is a change that enables an increase in the maximum fine for trespass in the watershed. On city lands, it increases the fine from what is currently $100 in our code to $1,250. That change has been enabled by a change in the state law that passed in 2011. The second item is a clarification that county court jurisdiction for trespassing resides with the county in which a trespasser is actually found to be trespassing. There are three counties that intersect the Watershed Management Unit enclosure area: Multnomah, Clackamas, and Hood River. And then the third item simply clarifies the Water Bureau Administrator's authority to enforce these trespassing items in the closure within this area. So if there's time, I'll just walk you through four quick slides to help show you the map and the area that we're talking about. So this is the existing closure area boundary. And what I'll note simply here is that the green lands are Forest Service lands. There's tan colored lands on the south and in the northwest sections of this map, those are BLM-owned lands. And then lands that are colored in light blue are city-owned lands. That dark line with the red and black is the closure area. And then you'll see a single black line. That's the federal management unit boundary. So the change that we're proposing will be illustrated with this slide. And you'll see where the arrows where we're talking about. We're going to be able to expand our closure area boundary to include those BLM lands in those areas that are indicated by the arrows. Just to be absolutely certain that you know what we're talking about, here is a final slide to show you in the crosshatch the 646 acres that will be coming into the closure area. So in summary, we're just adding the BLM lands to our closure area. We're increasing our trespass maximum amount in code, clarifying our county court jurisdictions, and the authorization of the administrator to enforce this.
Okay. David, what can you tell us just briefly what kind of outreach we've done on this? And because I believe you've had some conversations with some folks who care about this.
Yeah, actually, I think Eddie's better qualified to say that. In general, there is a group of interested stakeholders that we work with in around Bull Run issues, and we've reached out to all of them, communicated to them, for instance, Regna Merritt with Physicians for Social Responsibility, I believe. Regna's actually out of the country. Otherwise, I suspect she would be here testifying as well.
Would she be testifying in favor or against?
We haven't had that conversation with her, but as a general rule, Regna is very supportive of any actions that we do that would protect or expand the protections in the Bull Run.
And one other thing, David, because you occasionally brief me on suspected trespassing.
So, yes.
That includes people that go off trails and enter the area, take pictures, post it sometimes on their Facebook page or whatever. So we discourage that. Also, people on horseback, that's a particular problem. There are folks who think that they're allowed to bring their horses into this area. That, of course, is a big no-no. What other examples of trespassing do we see on a regular basis?
We have people who are hunters. We have people who are mountain bikers. That's particularly in that southern section along the BLM areas. We have livestock that occasionally stray into the Bull Run. One of our problem areas is the Lolo Pass Road, and we spend a lot of effort patrolling that and putting signage up on that, because on one side of the road you're allowed to be, on the other side of the road you're not allowed to be. So we spend a lot of effort working on that and trying to make sure that the inadvertent trespassers are educated, and the people who know that they're going into an area that they're not supposed to be in, we try and take enforcement action.
The reason, colleagues, that a number of people who trespass know that they are trespassing is there are signs that very clearly state it's a restricted area, they're not allowed to. And we, for example, track things like horse prints through an area where literally every tree has a sign that's very clearly identifying they're not allowed to be there. David, since we'll be bringing to council soon a request on staffing, what's our current staffing in the Bull Run watershed?
From a security standpoint, currently we have one full-time ranger. He and his wife and their child live in a house that's just inside the main gate. He works 4 days a week, 10-hour days, and then in the summer, from May to about this time of the year, we've had two seasonal rangers, people that we hire part-time, and they supplement that ranger. And we are bringing forward in the fall bump a proposal to take that summer supplement money and add to that a little bit and have a second full-time ranger so that all days of the week we'll have somebody staffing our security up in the Bull Run.
That'll be coming through the fall bump. I briefed the mayor on that.
Right,
so
and if it's approved
before us today.
And if it's approved, we hope to be hiring within the next couple of months so that by the time what I refer to as the trespass season rolls around, we'll have somebody who's trained and prepared and ready to go.
This will not affect, these changes won't affect the normal and legal passage of pedestrians on the Pacific Crest Trail.
No.
From Lolo Pass to the Hatfield Wilderness, even though it's inside the protection area, but we allow that passage.
That's correct. The Pacific Crest Trail is an example of one where if you leave the trail, you know you're not supposed to be going there. But we do have people who do trespass along that area.
So you mentioned signs. Is there any fencing at the perimeter?
No, we're talking, I should know this, the linear boundary of the Bull Run is huge. It's 147 square miles, and I don't know what that translates into as far as a boundary, but trying to fence the entire Bull Run would be, I think, an impossible task. However, over the last several years, we have rebuilt the gate system so that at the very least we have much more robust gates where there are roads that lead into the Bull Run.
I was just looking at the expanded area on the northwest piece. Is there a road that's along there?
There are roads that lead to that. As a matter of fact, you can see there's what looks like a fairly straight road, and I believe the arrow on the map, on one of the maps, it says Transmission Tower Road. That actually is a road that leads into the Bull Run and the Bull Run watershed.
So that was the place along there. It would seem like that might be a cost-effective place to fence.
Well, it's actually a fairly wooded, it's a forested area, Commissioner.
It's not an actual road that people
no,
drive
along? No. It's a dirt, most of it's a dirt road that's used by the Bonneville Power Administration to get access to their transmission lines that run through the Bull Run.
It does strike me, based on Commissioner Fritz's question, that it's probably something we've looked at in the past. We probably have, looked at some of the cost and benefits things. I think it's worth having that conversation beyond this hearing. Just to identify, are there particular places that are very sensitive where a fence would have a deterrent value? How might that work? What might be the cost? I'd like to have some further information. Commissioner Fritz will share that with you.
Great.
And
thank you.
Good. Other questions on this item? Anyone else want to speak? And thank you both. This moves to second reading.
Thank you.
Okay. We have